Story is told of an airliner which began to develop trouble in midair. One of the engines began to smoke, so over the speaker system, the pilot's reassuring voice told the passengers of the small problem. One engine had caught fire. It had been extinguished. They had three remaining engines, so the plane could continue and would reach its destination. Then a second engine failed. And the pilot calmly assured the passengers there was no danger, two engines would suffice. Then a third engine failed, and the pilot informed the passengers that it would be necessary to land short of their destination. Finally, the fourth engine failed, and from their windows, the passengers saw the plane's crew and the pilot parachuting to descend to Earth. And to their surprise, the pilot's voice came out of the speaker system over the speaker and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a problem with the airplane. We will need to make an emergency landing. The pilot and crew have abandoned the plane and are parachuting to safety. There is no need to panic. The plane is operating on an automatic pilot, and everything is under control, 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 control." I'm glad you can laugh about that. I don't want that to happen on an airplane that I'm traveling in. A week and a half when we fly to South Florida to visit our family. But that example is used to illustrate that life sometimes seems out of control. And when life is out of control, agnostics and atheists use that as an excuse for a reason, if you will, for them to no longer consider believing that there is a God in heaven and earth. We as Christians believe there is a God. And when life goes smoothly, God's blessings are evident. But when they're not so smoothly, we still believe in God and know that He's still in control. That's the sovereignty of God, and we spoke of it in our class this morning. When the bottom falls out and the trials of life seem to be swallowing us up, that's the time that this lesson needs to come to mind. As we're told in Philippians 4, that the peace that passes all understanding is available to us through Christ Jesus, and that God will guard our minds and hearts, emotions, so that we can sense, feel, know that peace throughout life. It's up to us to hold on to it, to know it and to hold on to it as we go through difficult times. We acknowledge that there are times in life it's very, very difficult. And when we sin as Christians, we know that we can confess that sin, and God is faithful and just and will forgive us that sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. We know that we have an advocate who speaks to the Father on our behalf. 1 John 2, verse 1. So we have that in place, spiritually speaking, to deal with sin that come into our life. And as we talked about in class from several verses, we need to realize that things in life aren't happening to us because we are sinners. Although things can happen as a result of sin, someone can choose to get drunk, they can get in a car, they can drive against nature, against law, and against God's law, and they can run into someone and kill them. Sin can bring difficult circumstances into this world. But for the most part, God's sovereignty is in control, and it's up to us to figure out what's happening, how does it affect us, and what are we going to do about it day by day. And that's why Romans 8, verse 28, is in this chapter in the midst of hardships, and in this New Testament in the midst of difficult life choices. The New American Standard says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God causes all things to work together for good. Let's be sure we understand what it is not saying. That verse is not saying that everything that happens in our life is good. Many things that happen in our life are not good for us. They're not good for our family. They're not good for our community. This verse is not saying that all things are good. But it tells us, because God is in control, that all things can be worked together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. And so when something comes into our life, it's important for us to see that verse in its proper relationship to situations that we're going through. He speaks with a certain amount of certainty, if you will. We know. We should know those things. Paul wanted to teach the church at Rome this truth. Some would debate whether or not they had heard it before, or he was just reminding them, or it was a new teaching because they were newer in the faith. Whatever the circumstances, Paul knew that the church at Rome needed this principle in their life. The sovereignty of God is something that we need to understand. God is in control, always. He allows some things to occur, or He causes some things to occur. And as we suggested in class, as we are dovetailing some lessons about the problem of pain, as we're closing our study of Romans chapter 8, there are things that happen according to nature, natural law. God allows natural law, and that means I am going to get older. And as I get older, there may be circumstances that come into my health that must be dealt with. It's natural law. Floods, tsunamis, earthquakes, hurricanes, natural law. God allows nature to run its course. He can intercede, if you will. He can cause. But for the most part, natural law is allowed to reign. And we see that and understand that. And we don't have to ascribe a reason. Why did 9/11 occur? I was amazed that first week after it occurred, all the things that were listed as being wrong with America, and that's why God allowed it to happen, to punish America for all of our sins. Now, some of the things were correct that were on that list. My understanding of why it happened is because some people did some things to bring it about. Careful planning, careful following through with those plans. And it had a worldwide effect even to this day when I go to the airport a week from Tuesday morning. They're going to check my luggage, and they're going to look at me and wonder if I'm going to do something similar. I just chuckle inside. We are way past that in my mind. But it's still in place as a result of actions on the part of individuals. Natural law. It's the same word for free will. God allows us to make choices. And the consequences of those choices, what I call the pain of free will. The pain of free will might be that we have children raised properly, responding properly as they go through our household, and then as they leave home and as they go into the world, they suddenly lose some of their faithfulness to God, Christ, and the church. It's the pain of free will. I wish I could snap my fingers And unfaithful Christians would suddenly wake up and come back and do that which they're supposed to do. God does not want us to come as a result of other people's choices. He did not create us as robots. It's a choice we each must make. It's the pain of free will. But we want to make choices. We want free will so that we can choose God, and the reason is clear and it's appreciated the way it should be. So we know certain things, and knowing that helps us to begin to understand what's happening around us. But God works. God is in control, and He works circumstances in our life, many times not the cause of sin. They're the result of natural law. They're results of other circumstances in our life. And it's inherent upon us to sit back where possible, not blaming, not causing us to be unfaithful, not suggesting that we should turn against the Creator. But it's inherent upon us, as we would apply this verse, to just step back and to see that God can work this out for good. One writer gave an example that I have come to appreciate. He talks about a person who's making a cake. And he talks about the ingredients that go into that cake. They listed flour, sugar, shortening, egg, salt, baking powder, spices, not mixed together, and individually, they're not very tasty. It's not a cake. And the example would be that there are things in life that are separated, not yet mixed together, brought together for good. And in and of themselves, we look at them as individual events, individual people even. And it's not the finished product. When those ingredients are put together and they're made into a cake, and we eat the cake, it's wonderful. People like me only get 6 bites. I'm type 2 diabetic. I'll take a piece or two home and I'll eat 6 bites for 2 or 3 days. But the cake is the finished product. And we're encouraged to look at life that way, and it helped me to put it into words that I think we can all come to appreciate. At any one point along the way, it's not the finished product. The circumstances are not the finished product. The people pulled in and out of the circumstance are not the finished product. And it's important for us to see God in control and know that this isn't the finished product, but to know that He's in control. What does the verse say? We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. I don't think we need to hear it online. Maybe some need to hear it. Some of us needing to hear it to share with others not here. God's promises aren't given to those who don't love Him. God's promises aren't given to those who aren't called according to His purpose. God can still bring about good, and that's one of the discussions we'll have in our study of the problem of pain on Sunday morning in our class. God brings into every creature's world certain things that are blessings and beneficial. Air, sunshine, rain, all the things that all people receive. But there are some things that aren't promised to those who don't have a relationship with God. I came to understand it when we had 3 children at home. It's not the best example, but it begins to help us understand it. When our three children were home, we would have their friends in and out of the house. And we would seek to take care of them. We would give them direction where appropriate. We would feed them lunch if we were feeding lunch. If they asked us for advice, we would give them the best that we could. But at the end of the day, they went home because they were not my children. My relationship with them was not the same as the one I had with my three children. And understanding that helps me to at least begin to associate the relationship God has with those who are part of the family of God. We have a spiritual relationship with Him. And those who are called according to His purpose, not our will, but His will be done. We know that things work together for good as we're called to Him, by Him, for Him. And inherent in that idea is that we depend upon Him. But for purposes of this verse, it's encouraging us to step back and to realize we're not experiencing the finished product. We're not going through the finished product. And what is that finished product? We don't always know. We can always project it. I know of a situation as a deacon, as a young person in a congregation. A couple with their older daughter was struggling with their young son who needed very serious surgery and needed to go to Baltimore to have it done. And I went to two larger churches, one I was a member of, and encouraged them to encourage this family to put their faith in God. This son needed this surgery, but it was their decision. But tell them that they were going to be very supportive in every way for them to go and have this surgery take place. He died on the operating table. It was not something guaranteed, but it was something they definitely wanted to at least make possible for their son. That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for him to have grown that way and to be in a wheelchair most of his life. It was not a good thing in so many ways, but it wasn't the finished product. Look where he was upon his death, and that's a certainty. And the difficulty that they were going through brought a mother and a father, who were also a husband and wife, closer together in their marriage. Some of the difficulties that this circumstance had brought into their marriage, it pulled them together. They became faithful to the cause of Christ, him especially. Good came from it. But it was not a good thing as it transpired week by week. You had to back away and see the finished product. One of the things this verse also implies is that there's nothing that a sinful person can do against a godly person that can thwart God's plan in the life of that individual. God can use poor choices to still bring about His purpose in our life. It's not dependent upon us being all that we should be, though the blessings are there for those who are called according to His purpose. But God can work through poor choices and bring about good things. We'll talk about it in our Sunday class, but think of the story of Joseph. That father should never have shown the favoritism that he showed to his son. It created a jealousy that should not have been there. And when they decided to put him in a cistern and sold him into slavery, that was not God's will for his life. As he was there being faithful, remember, And yet in and out of prison, because of choices that were outside of his control, he'd do a good deed. Remember me when you're called in front of those in authority, and they would not remember him. Give information from God through a vision, not being remembered, staying still where he was. If you put yourself in Joseph's shoes, so much of his life was not a good thing. I'm not sure he would have had the faith. I don't know, but I don't know how he could have had the faith to back up and see the finished product. God put him second in control of an Egyptian country. God put him in a position to save God's people, including his own, in the midst of famine. The finished product mattered. The in-between and the week by month by year, sometimes it doesn't look so good. There are times, and we suggested it in class, that things happen and they're not clear. And they are a test for us. Do I see God in control? Do I still believe that? Am I striving to achieve his purposes for my life so I can with certainty know that he is wanting to achieve his purposes for my life? Even though I know that if I'm not achieving his purposes for my life consistently, habitually, he can still bring about good in those circumstances. And that may be what calls me back to faithfulness. The end of the story. The cake coming out of the oven is the metaphor, if you will, that we're to see. The lesson, solace in suffering. There's blessing in the midst of suffering. God's in control. He's bringing about good. Ultimately, good will come from this. And it will achieve his purposes as we bring him glory. But make no mistake, it's still suffering. It's still called suffering. And it's important for us to acknowledge and see the sovereignty of God in those circumstances. In those early verses of Romans 8, as we begin to close, we were encouraged to see two paths. One path following after the flesh, and one path following after the spiritual things, the things of God. And clearly in Scripture, those who follow after the flesh go to that place prepared for those who follow after the flesh. And those who yield to the Spirit and are guided by the Spirit, and the Spirit tells us in the midst of hard times, you are still my child. Abba, Father, we're told to remember. We're told that we still will suffer. But nothing we go through will compare to the glory that is to come. Now, that's the hardest part to me of this chapter. Nothing that we go through does not begin to compare with the glory waiting for those who are faithful to the cause of Christ. And what do we say? Bring it on. Terry warns me about that because Satan wins most battles. But with God in control, I can have confidence. I can say I want to be faithful until my last breath. That's my desire. And we'll speak specifically to that next Sunday. If you're not here, be sure and watch the sermon somewhere later. It brings a wonderful chapter with so much depth down to the ultimate answer that we must give. And we know that God, the sovereign God, causes all things to work together for good. The finished product is worth the wait, and it's worth the faithfulness on our part, and it's worth the courage that we can have when our bodies spiritually, maybe even physically, are just at the wit's end. It's worth the wait, patiently, courageously, confidently. God brings the finished product home. And that's what he wants for us. This morning, if you're a member of the body of Christ, this is given for our encouragement. If you're not, realize what's been made possible by God through Christ and is brought about by brothers and sisters in Christ, teaching each other, helping each other, coming alongside, striving to be his people in this place until our very last breath. Let's stand and sing a song.